You're listening to Come Follow Me Weekly, a weekly podcast with thoughts and insights for the Come Follow Me lessons of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Heather Weber. Thanks for being here with me this week. The title of this week's lesson is Rend That Veil of Unbelief, and it covers Ether chapters 1 through 5. Well, if anyone out there is feeling a little bit discouraged by their family scripture reading, I would like to share with you what happened at my house this morning. This morning, it was me, my husband, my 15-year-old daughter, my 13-year-old son. And we're sitting around the kitchen table, and we're reading in Moroni. And my husband reads a verse, and he says, "So what do you guys think? Do you think that miracles have ceased?" And my 13-year-old gets this sudden burst of teenage anxiety, and he's like, I don't know. And he jumps up from the table and goes to get his English muffin that's popped up out of the toaster. So my husband's like, okay, and looks at my daughter and says, "Well, what do you think?" And she goes, "Wait, what was the question?" And he goes, "Do you think that miracles have ceased?" And she says, "Yes, no. All I know is if I make it out of high school, it'll be a miracle." And so my husband looks at me and I'm laughing so hard I can't even breathe at this point. And so he's like, "Okay, it appears that our family scripture study is done for today." So that was at our house this morning. And if you are struggling, don't feel bad. We're all just out here doing the best we can. I love this week's lesson. It has given me so many good things to think about. And once again, very applicable to the things that are going on in the world. The opening paragraph says, "While it is true that God's ways are higher than ours and we should always submit to his will, he also encourages us to think and act for ourselves. That's one lesson Jared and his brother learned. For example, the idea of traveling to a new land that was choice above all the earth seemed to start in Jared's mind, and the Lord had compassion and promised to grant that request, saying, 'Thus I will do unto thee, because this long time ye have cried unto me.' And when the brother of Jared realized how dark it was inside the barges that would carry them to their promised land, the Lord invited him to suggest a solution, asking a question that we usually ask him, 'What will ye that I should do?' The message seems to be that we shouldn't expect God to command us in all things. We can share with him our own thoughts and ideas, and he will listen and give his confirmation or else counsel us otherwise. Sometimes the only thing separating us from the blessings we seek is our own veil of unbelief, and if we can rend that veil, we may be surprised by what the Lord is willing to do for us." I love that, and it's just so true. The first section of the lesson talks about how the Lord will have compassion on us as we ask for his help. This week, we are reading about the story of a man named Jared and his family, who were at the Tower of Babel, I don't know what it is, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about. It was where the Lord confounded everyone's language and everyone was scattered. Jared asked his brother to pray to the Lord and ask him not to change their language. And it says that Jared's brother prayed, and the Lord had compassion on them, and he didn't change their language. And then Jared asked his brother to pray and ask the Lord again to spare their friends and their families so that they would all be able to understand each other. And again, the Lord had compassion on them and helped their friends and their families. Jared asked his brother to pray a third time and asked the Lord to show them where he wanted them to go, because they were willing and ready to go wherever the Lord needed them to be. And a third time, the Lord had compassion on them and directed them exactly where he needed them to go. So what do we learn here from the experiences of Jared and his brother and their families? One thing that I could see is that they knew their Heavenly Father. They had a personal relationship with him and knew that through their Savior, he was their source of truth and peace and comfort. When they were confronted with a hard situation, they didn't waste time worrying about what to do or running around in a panic, trying all kinds of different things. They prayed to their Father, the one person with whom they knew they could accomplish anything and solve any problem. And you can also tell that this wasn't the first time that they had prayed. This was a pattern that they used in their lives all the time. In the lesson, it says, "Think about a time when you have experienced the Lord's compassion as you cried unto him in prayer." And as I was sitting there thinking about that, I was like, I do this all the time, every day. If I need help, that's the first place I turn, is to my Heavenly Father. And he shows compassion on me and my family every day. And I certainly don't have every one of my prayers answered instantaneously or exactly the way that I hope for most of the time. But as I pray and talk to my Heavenly Father, I feel peace all of the time. The knowledge of prayer and the ability to pray is one of the things that I am most grateful for in my life. This world that we are living in right now is just crazy. And if you're worried or upset and don't know where to turn, talk to your Heavenly Father. I know He will help you just like He helps me. I did have one experience that kept coming to my mind, so I thought I'd share it. A couple of years ago, I was going with our Relief Society president to do some visits in our ward. And this was near the end of a pretty harsh winter, and we'd already had a few kind of freeze-thaw cycles, and the roads were just really icy right then. We live in kind of a hilly area, and the person that we were visiting lived in a new house, and the driveway to get up to her house was really steep. And as you went up to the left was their yard, but on the right, it dropped off into a ravine. And the driveway wasn't finished because it was still a brand new house, so it was still just rocks and gravel and a whole bunch of ice. So we kind of got a running start with the car, and we barely made it up the driveway. And the Relief Society president had a four-wheel drive vehicle, and we still just barely made it. It was just pretty treacherous that day. So we had our visit, and we left. And as we started to go carefully down the driveway, all of a sudden, the ice just grabbed our car and turned us 90 degrees. So now we were facing the ravine, and then we started to slide forward. And luckily, we stopped before we went over the edge, but we were stuck. And the Relief Society president tried to back up, but we were sitting on pure ice and we couldn't move. If she tried to move the car, it would just slide. And we were right on the edge, so we were kind of scared. So I started running through scenarios in my mind of how we were going to get down this hill without dying. And the Relief Society president said, "Okay, let's say a prayer." And I was like, "Great, go for it." So she prayed and told Heavenly Father that we'd been out trying to do some good things and that we needed His help to get this car off of this hill. She said, "Amen." She put the car in reverse and we backed up with no problem. And I still have a distinct image in my mind of that moment. And I can still hear the gravel under the tires as we backed up, where 30 seconds before we were sliding on pure ice. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the Savior said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." He's standing right there and He never moves. All we have to do is open the door. In Ether chapter 2, Jared and his family are preparing for a journey to the Promised Land. I love Ether chapter 2, verse 12, where it says, "Behold, this is a choice land. And whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who hath been manifested by the things which we have written." Maybe this is a good time for all of us to ask ourselves, which God do we serve? Do we serve the God of the Facebook, the God of the face mask, or the Savior of the world? We do live in a promised land, but that promise goes two ways. Neil L. Anderson said, "As the world speaks less of Jesus Christ, let us speak more of Him." And I would also maybe add to let us also be more like Him. Jared and his family were at the sea that divided their lands, and they needed a way to cross the sea. I thought it was interesting, too, that their family waited there at the seashore for 4 years before the Lord finally came to the brother of Jared and was like, "Hello, are you guys going to do anything here or what?" And it made me wonder how many times the Lord is doing that with me, just waiting for me to get my act together so that He can help me cross my own great deep. I think that we are often capable of so much more in our life than we give ourselves credit for. When we put in the work, the Lord is right there to help us accomplish whatever we set in our minds to do. The Lord told the brother of Jared exactly how to build the barges that they needed to cross the sea. And they built them just like they were told. But when they got done, the brother of Jared saw a few problems. Those barges were airtight and watertight, so how could they see and how could they breathe? Jared's brother asked these questions to the Lord, and in verse 20 the Lord says, "Behold, thou shalt make a hole in the top and also in the bottom, and when thou shalt suffer for air, thou shalt unstop the hole and receive air. And if it be so that the water come in upon thee, behold, ye shall stop the hole, that ye may not perish in the flood." Okay, that's reasonable. So Jared's brother did what he was told, and it worked. But that only solved one problem. They still had no light. So once again, the brother of Jared asked the Lord how they could light the barges. And this time, the answer didn't come so easy. In verse 23, the Lord says, "What will ye that I should do, that ye may have light in your vessels? For behold, ye cannot have windows, for they will be dashed in pieces. Neither shall ye take fire with you, for ye shall not go by the light of fire." The Lord was like, "Yeah, that is a problem. What are you going to do about it?" President Nelson said, "I plead with you to increase your spiritual capacity to receive revelation. Choose to do the spiritual work required to enjoy the gift of the Holy Ghost and hear the voice of the Spirit more frequently and more clearly." The brother of Jared needed to do some spiritual work and some physical work to solve his problem. He needed to think for himself and come up with a plan, do the work, and then present that plan to the Lord. The brother of Jared ended up climbing a literal mountain to molten out 16 small stones that were white and clear. And then he humbly presented these stones to the Lord and asked him if he could touch them to make them shine so that they could provide light. In verse 6 it says, "And it came to pass that when the brother of Jared had said these words, behold, the Lord stretched forth his hand and touched the stones one by one with his finger." I love reading this experience of the brother of Jared because it clearly shows me how the Lord deals with us. Sometimes we pray and we receive an immediate answer or we immediately know what we should do. Other times we pray and the answers don't come so easy. Sometimes the Lord needs us to study it out in our minds and trust the feelings that we have and move forward even if we can't see the end of the road we're walking down. If we have faith and we do what we can, when we can, and keep moving forward, we will be in the right places at the right times and the right things will happen in our lives. And in the end, our prayers will be answered in the right way at the right time. And I know this is true because I've seen it over and over again in my own life. It's the struggle that helps us to grow, and that strengthens our testimonies and gives us spiritual and emotional confidence. That's why the Lord allows us to struggle, because it's through that struggle that we become what He knows we can become. To me, it's so much like being parents ourselves. I know that if I do things for my children, it's oftentimes a lot easier for me to just do it myself. And it's easier on them. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to exert any effort. But the real work of parenting is to teach our children and let them learn by experience. Sometimes they need to fail. Sometimes they need to try different things, and they don't need us to be there just saving them from everything and doing everything for them. And I think our Heavenly Father deals with us in exactly the same way. He shows us a good pattern of how to be an effective parent. Because of the brother of Jared's faithfulness, he was able to receive a great blessing beyond just having the Lord light the stones. He was able to see the Savior in person. In verse 14, it says, "Behold, I am He who was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son. In me shall all mankind have life, and that eternally, even they who shall believe on my name. And they shall become my sons and my daughters." The Lord could have very easily just touched some stones for the brother of Jared before he went to all that work. But going through that experience himself put him in a position to receive amazing blessings that he couldn't otherwise have had. I feel like right now in the world, we are standing on the edge of a great deep. And it's up to each one of us whether we sit by the seashore for 4 years like Jared's family did, or we climb some of our own personal mountains so that we have the means to cross to the other side and make it to our own promised land. In this last general conference, we were encouraged to prepare ourselves in all kinds of ways. President Nelson said, "I am not saying the days ahead will be easy, but I promise you that the future will be glorious for those who are prepared and who continue to prepare to be instruments in the Lord's hands." And then he went on to say, "I promise that as we create places of security, prepare our minds to be faithful to God, and never stop preparing, God will bless us. He will deliver us, yea, insomuch that He will speak peace to our souls and will grant unto us great faith and cause that we can hope for our deliverance in Him." In chapter 4, verse 12, Jesus says, "And whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do good is of me, for good cometh of none save it be of me. I am the same that leadeth men to do good. He that will not believe my words will not believe me, that I am. And he that will not believe me will not believe the Father who sent me. For behold, I am the Father, I am the light and the life and the truth of the world." Truth is definitely hard to come by these days, but we will always find it without fail through our Savior Jesus Christ. When we have the faith to pray and to ask for help, and when we have the faith to try and to keep trying, we qualify ourselves for His help and blessings every time that we need them. And those are some of my thoughts for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget that you can find me on Instagram at Come Follow Me Weekly. or you can send me an email at cfmweekly@gmail.com. And I will put this episode up on my blog at comefollowmeweekly.com. I hope you all have a great week.